Well, good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the morning show right here on 88.5 KRFY. It is Wednesday, May 17th, right smack dab in the middle of the month. And we're here in the studio. I'm Susie Prez, one of the hosts of the morning show.
And I'm your co-host this morning, Susie Chris Bessler. How are you doing?
I'm doing really pretty good.
You're not wet or, you know.
You know, I've gotten used to it for somehow. Yeah. Some
well,
reason.
Hey, we live in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. And you got to expect a little bit of rain here
you
or there.
You know, I remember years when the spring was wet, rainy, and cold. So this is kind of normal,
it,
really.
Actually, and by historical norms, it is, in fact, normal. So.
And I do remember a couple weeks ago, we had 3 days of sunshine. So I have a good memory for things like that.
Well, it sticks out when you get it, doesn't it?
It certainly
does. And we have a great show today for our listeners. We have in the studio with us Mel Dick and Alana Westfall. They're with the Rotary Club, San Juan Rotary Club, and they're going to be talking about one of the biggest events that the Rotary Club puts on the year, the CHAFE 150, which is coming up in June. Hi, Alana.
Hi, good morning, Chris.
And Mel.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
But first, we have a ton of stuff to talk about. We're going to tell about the election results in just a minute. But Susie, we've been talking about the weather. What's in store for us? Especially with the weekend coming up and lost in the 50s. That's a big one.
Well, you know, it sort of changed overnight because yesterday, Friday, it had sunshine on the little pictures that go across the screen. And now it has 20% slight chance of showers on Friday. And mostly cloudy Friday night. So it looks pretty good for the Lost in the 50s parade. I guess that's Friday night. But right now we have 41 degrees from the National Weather Service. We're looking today at a high of 57 with 30% chance of scattered showers before 2 p.m. And then isolated showers after 5 p.m. You can guess what that means. Maybe less than scattered. And mostly cloudy with, as I said, high near 57. Light variable winds, northeast, 8 to 13 miles per hour in the morning. And then tonight, isolated showers before 8 p.m., then scattered showers after 11 p.m.
So low, there's got to be a difference between 41. Isolated and scattered.
Well, then, actually, Thursday, there's slight chance of showers, only 20%. Yeah. So that's lower than the 30% scattered showers.
There we go.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And so tomorrow, high of 64.
Careful use of language is really important here. You know, scattered,
it is.
Isolated, yeah.
I like the one that says on Sunday, slight chance of showers, then mostly sunny.
Yeah,
high
actually,
of 70.
And I'm looking at it, too, and it looks pretty nice by the time we get to Sunday. So
Monday, mostly sunny, high 72. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high 74. So there you go.
Yeah, looks, you know, it looks like there's sun in our future somewhere. Other things going on outside. The sunrise this morning, if you caught it, was at 5:04 a.m. It'll set tonight at 8:21 p.m. Over the course of the last week, we've gained 20 minutes of daylight per day as our days are still getting longer. That's good news. The lake level is now rising. It's rising pretty quickly, actually. It's up 2.2 feet in the last week as they're now capturing the spring runoff. It's at 20:59. On its way to 2060 is where our float pool is. We're still well down, but we'll get there probably sometime after Memorial Day. And speaking of runoff, the Whitewater Rivers are going full blast right now. The Priest is at 6490 CFS, and the Moyet is at 3370 CFS. Those are both high flow levels. So if you're a whitewater person, be careful out there. There was a drowning on the Moyet last week, a whitewater rafter drowned.
At Meadow Creek.
The Meadow Creek section, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is rough out there, even in the summer. It must have been really big water.
It is big water. The hydraulics are much magnified with this much water going through. So if you're a whitewater person, be careful out there. And what else is going on around town real quickly? We do have Lost in the 50s happening this week.
That's pretty much big.
That's the biggest
party. All those cars are going to show up here any minute.
The biggest party of the year in our town. If you have never been to a Lost in the 50s, the streets are just thronged with people. I mean, this is the one time of year where it's hard to walk down Main Street or anywhere along First Avenue because there are such big crowds. But the cars are here. They get several hundred a year typically, and it's really a great show. So on Friday, there is the parade, which starts at 6 p.m., and then the car show is all day on Saturday, and there are a couple of big rock and roll shows at the fairgrounds as well. So if you need details on Lost in the 50s, go to our calendar at krfy.org or sandpointonline.com.
And we can have more of the community events that are happening in our community later on in the show, because they're also at Sandpoint Online and krfy.org. And if you can't catch this whole show today, you can go to our website at krfy.org and listen to the podcast later in the day.
Yes. And the other big thing that happened overnight was the school board elections. There were elections for three seats on the Lake Pendere School District Board of Trustees. And we're going to give you the results here. For Zone 2, where Gary Supiger was contested by Richard Miller, Supiger won with 368 votes to 292. That's a 54% margin. In Zone 3...
Can I do Zone 3 because that was my zone?
You bet. Go
okay,
for it.
Thank you. Zone 3, we had Victoria Zajcek and Lonnie Williams contested candidates, and the winner was Lonnie Williams with 563 votes to Victoria's 168 votes, and his margin was 76, with a total votes cast of 731. And how many people are in each district?
Well, they're supposed to be
zone.
Roughly equal in population. So it's interesting we have such a wide variety, variance in the total number. I'll mention Zone 5. That's the zone with Carrie Kelly and Anita Perry were running for the open seat there. And Carrie Kelly won that with 765 votes to Anita's 114. So Carrie won by an 86% margin. The total votes cast there were 879. So the total votes cast in each zone varied by up to a couple hundred votes. But population-wise, they're similar. So what that indicates really is that people in Zone 5 were more motivated to get out and vote. And that was the interesting thing about this election. It did have, I think, a lot more interest than other recent school board elections have had.
So would you say the 879 votes cast in Zone 5 was a high amount compared to other school board elections
in
the
past? Yeah, I wish I had that number, but mm-hmm. I don't. But okay. I'm sure it was
but
a
it
higher
seems
turnout
high.
Mm-hmm. than usual. A lot of times these school board elections get just a few hundred votes. So it goes to the fact that the candidates were out working hard. The candidates that lost, we had them all in here for mm-hmm. a series of interviews. The candidates that lost were all articulate. And I would say the one thing that comes out of a hotly contested election like this is that ideas that from the losing side get picked up and carried on by the winners as well. And mm-hmm. I'd say the part where all the candidates agreed a bigger effort is needed in communication by the school board and the school district out to the voters. So
all of them are carrying that into their new positions with the Lake Pendere School District. And you're right. You know, there were a lot of great ideas. I want to thank all of the candidates for coming into the station and coming to the forums and really speaking what they were willing to do to support the school district.
Yep. So. And I'll mention as well, there was one other contested race on the ballot yesterday. If you voted, you saw that the East Bonner County Library District had a trustee seat for election. And in that one, it was a close one, Joan Terrell, the incumbent, lost to the challenger, Susan Shea. The vote there was 903 to 833. Whereas for the trustee election, you can only vote in your zone, the library district takes up more than half of the county. So more people were able to vote in that election. There were also two other seats that were on the ballot. It was a little confusing. The ballot was actually incorrect. It said vote for one in one of the two-year term seats. that are currently held by Judy Myers and Gil Beyer. And actually, both of those are going on to hold their seats in this election. So it really wasn't a contested race.
Okay, that was confusing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Another thing that came across was the Ponderay Hospital District for Trustees 6-year term. One of the things I heard after the fact that there was someone that was running as a write-in, but I didn't know about that.
Well, you can run as a write-in, but you still have to file the paperwork well in advance, at least probably a few weeks in advance of the election. And I don't think that happened. So if you were writing in somebody's name, I don't really believe that would even be a valid vote because I don't think any write-ins filed with a county elections office. And in that case, that was the Ponderay Hospital District. And they're a little confusing there as well because they had six names on the ballot and you were supposed to vote for five, but one of the names was actually not eligible to run. And so that was really an uncontested race as well. So,
mm-hmm. Well, we have to congratulate everyone that did win. There were a few other things on there, like the Bayview Water and Sewer District for director. But everyone, good job. These are all unpaid positions, so they're serving our community in a big way. So thank you.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
Yes. And speaking of serving our community in a big way, got a couple folks here from the Rotary Club. That's a nice segue, wasn't it?
We did it. We didn't even plan that.
Alana Westfall and Mel Dick, you're here with the Rotary Club. You're both very active in the Rotary Club, but we're going to be talking specifically about the Chafe 150 bike ride. I guess you could call it a race.
No, you can't call it a race. It's a ride.
It's a Grand Fondo, and it is.
It's timed.
Yeah, okay.
It's a timed event. Yeah. That's not a race.
You're really kind of competing against yourself to see if you can improve your own time.
That's correct.
Yes.
Grand Fondo literally means big ride in Italian. Grand Fondo. Yeah.
So, and 150 miles, I'd say that that qualifies. And Mel, I know you have, how many times have you ridden the Chafe yourself?
Well, I've ridden the 150 two or three times and the 80 one time. Several years I was out of town riding in Race Across America or crewing on Race Across America, so I missed it. But I rode it last year, and I'm signed up again to ride it this year.
Okay.
We'll see if I do.
And so you mentioned the 80, so there's actually three different lengths that you can choose here. Alana, why don't you give us the rundown on what the ride's really about?
Well, there's three routes. One's a 30-mile, an 80-mile, and 150-mile. I rode the 30-mile, I have to tell you. I loved it. It goes out to the Pack River store, past the alpaca farms and past barns, and it's just a beautiful route. Then
it's into the Selly Valley, which is
Selly
gorgeous.
Valley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is stunning. And the best part for me, it was the first time I rode an organized ride, was riding through Sandpoint on First Avenue behind the police cars and the pace car. That was like a great thrill. I had a lot of fun. And then we get out to the Pack River store, and there's ice cream and fruit and, you know, big break stop there. So
I just want to send a shout out. KRFY is going to host that refreshment station at the Pack River store this year.
That's right. That's great. We're
Thank
so
you.
Excited. Thank you, KRFY.
So the 30-mile route, you start in all the rides. Well, not all of them. Two of the rides start in Sandpoint, right?
Yeah. The 150-mile ride starts in Sandpoint right down by City Beach Park, and it takes you over the 150-mile route up through Bonner's Ferry, Morris Springs.
North of Highway 95.
Of Highway 95. Then you drop down into Troy, Montana, and at Troy, Montana, the 80-mile ride starts. And the way that works is the 150-mile riders and the 80-mile riders start out with a breakfast down at City Beach Park by Trinity. The 80-mile riders are then bused over to Troy, Montana. Their bikes are transported over on a truck, and they start their ride, I think, at 9:30 in the morning. I think the 150-mile ride starts at 6 or 6:30. And so those two rides are timed to finish at about the same time back at City Beach Park. The 30-mile ride starts
at noon.
At noon, mm-hmm. And again, that's time, so it finishes about the time the first riders from the 150 or the 80-mile ride get in. And then there's a big after-ride party down right on the beach with dinner, and it's a community-wide effort. So anybody in the community can come to it. It's not just for the riders.
They can come to the party.
Yeah. Anybody in the community can come to the party. And, you know, we really want to emphasize that because the ride is for the benefit of the Lake Pend'Oreille School District, which ties in nicely to the discussion we just had on the election results. And we'd really like to see as many people as possible come out for that and join the riders, join their families, have a great meal. We'll have a beer garden, beer and wine garden there. Just a lot of fun.
Fabulous barbecue from Trinity. Just the food is great. The scenery is great. And you get to meet and mingle people from all over the country who come here to Sandpoint to ride. And it's really nice to be able to tell them a little bit more about Sandpoint, because everybody just who comes here for the first time, it's like, my gosh, this is magnificent, you know? So it's really a fun party to go to.
So you can participate just by coming to the party. But let's talk a little bit about the rides more, because so Alana, having done the 30, did you have to do a bunch of training in advance?
No, that's what's so great is there were plenty of people who rode the 30 on their town bikes.
The big fat tire cruiser bikes,
Right, and in jeans. And our youngest rider was 6, and our oldest rider was 84. So
did the 6-year-old make it the whole way?
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Yeah, Taylor did a great time, and it's a fun ride for anyone. You don't really have to do much training in advance.
How about the 80? Mel, what would you say on that one?
I'd say on both the 150 and the 80, there is a need to train for those. Probably not as much as one might think. I mean, we've had people do the 150 ride where they've gone out literally and maybe rode 20 miles before they, you know, for the season and got on their bike and did the 150-mile ride. We've had other people that, you know, train constantly year-round for it. Our website does have a training schedule on it, a training guide that people can use. So I would say there's still time to, you know, do the 80. And for those people that are up for a real challenge.
And you just got inspired, you could get enough training in right now to do the 80.
You could get enough training in right to do the 80 right now.
A month still.
And, you know, for those few people that are really into challenging themselves, you could really do the 150. Mm-hmm. The 150 doesn't have... Even though it's a lot of miles, I mean, it's a lot of time in the saddle to do the 150. I rode it one year with a lady who had not ridden much bike before, and we started at 6:30 in the morning, and we finished at about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. And we took a lot of breaks, and that particular year, I didn't have an opportunity to train at all because I was coming off of a surgery, and she needed a partner to ride with her, and she did a great job. In fact, it's Billie Jean. Chris, you know her. And mm-hmm. Billie Jean raised a lot of money for this ride over the years and done a tremendous job.
She was the number one fundraiser there for at least a couple of years.
Several years. Yeah. And probably cumulatively the number one fundraiser.
Okay, so segue here. It's all about raising funds, right? And that's what the purpose of the ride is. How do riders raise money? Before we talk about the cause, let's talk about what's the mechanics of raising money with this ride.
So when you go to chafe150.org and you register for the ride, you'll be prompted to go to CrowdRise and set up your fundraising page. So you can do it that way, or you can download a donation form that you can print out and go bring it to work and bring it around to your friends to get them to sign up by hand. The best way to do it is with CrowdRise. You can put your picture up, you can put what your personal goal is and why you're riding for this cause, and motivate your friends and family to get behind you and donate some money in your name.
And so is this a case of taking pledges? I mean, you get people to... I'm a rider, so I can go out and say, hey, I'm going to be doing this ride. Will you kick in, you know, a dollar a mile that I managed to make or whatever amount you want to set it? Is that kind of how it goes?
You can do that, or you can just do a flat amount.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point, too, that this ride has great SAG, which is support and gear. So if you're riding the 150, Chris, and you've got somebody giving you $10 a mile, we're going to help you make sure you finish that 150 miles.
Really, we're all motivated to make sure they do a lot of miles. Yeah.
As part of the registration process, there's so much, every rider is required to raise $50 because it is for a great cause. And so many of the riders may just pay their $50 right at the time when they register. Other riders will do the crowd rise, as Alana mentioned. Other riders will go out and collect funds on their own and, you know, give us some money at the end of the ride. You know, we just had someone pledge $1,000 for one of the riders on crowd rise. So there are a lot of generous people out there.
Yeah.
And
some employers are matching their employees' donations, too. We just had that happen, which is really terrific. And there's great fundraiser prizes, too. Of course, Vicky Reich won the bike last year for raising over $4,000, which she then turned around and raffled it off to raise even more money for the school district, which was just wonderful. You can raise as little as $250 and get a wind vest. $500, you get a registration for the following year and some apparel. Then you're getting gear. We have all different kinds of fundraiser prizes, top fundraiser prizes, so just check them out on the website.
But you get a great bike for $4,000.
Yeah, it's a great bike. And you can keep it, too. You don't have to raffle it back off.
The crowdfunding site where people might start getting their pledges, we'll say, and people write in their pledges, do they PayPal right then, ahead of time, and make their donation, basically?
Yes.
Knowing that the rider's going to do everything they can to finish that ride.
Right. And, you know, and if it's a flat donation, like my sister's putting some money behind my ride, whether I finish it or not, she's donating
the
that money.
The donation's there, and it's a secure PayPal button.
It's PayPal, or you can use a credit card.
It's a great way for grandparents to support a grandchild, just people that aren't even in our area getting funding for an important need here in our community from outside also because of the media.
Right. Some of our top fundraisers are from Boulder and California and Seattle, different areas, but they understand that all of the funds stay local and will impact children in the Lake Pend'Oreille School District. And actually, it's spreading out more into the community and affecting providing support for more and more people and families.
And this is the 10th annual, and I'm sure you've seen it evolve over the years to be more and more and more. What is it looking like for registration right now? What are you anticipating this year's ride to be?
Last year, we had 340 registered riders, approximately. This year, we're slightly ahead of last year's pace, but I would say roughly 350 riders.
And is that, as these kind of rides go, there's a lot of rides out there. What is that, a good number? A big ride or a small ride?
You know, I'd say it's on the larger size. I mean, you can literally, if you're into the biking scene, you can do a 1 to 2 rides a week. Starting in about January all the way through September, October in the Pacific Northwest. And so there is a lot of competing rides out there. There's a lot of competing runs out there. This ride started out with roughly 75 riders the first year it had, and it's kind of steadily grown at about a 10% type pace over the years.
We should remind our listeners that this is the 88.5 KRFY morning show with host Chris and Susie. And today we're talking with Alana Westfall and Mel Dick about the Rotary-sponsored CHAFE 150 bike ride.
That's right. One thing I was thinking about, you know, your goal is to get as much funding to the school district to help support children with autism is what my understanding is.
That's correct.
Yeah. But there's a lot of cost to put this on. So you must do a lot of fundraising to make the bike ride possible so that most of the fundraising funds go to the recipient, the school district.
Yes. In fact, this year we have 86 sponsors, and all of those sponsors are local with the exception of one. Some of those sponsors donate outright cash. and others do in-kind services that we need to have to put on the ride. So, you know, we're blessed when we think about 86 different business organizations in our community. That's a lot, and they help us put it on there. We've got that in our brochure. I want to give a shout-out to our major sponsors. Bonner General Health is our platinum sponsor, and that's our highest level of sponsorship. Then we have as gold sponsors, KPND Radio, Parker Subaru, North Idaho Flood and Fire, Nancy Hadley Financial Services from D.A. Davidson, Greasy Fingers, Bike Shop, Trinity at City Beach, Timberline Helicopters, Northland Cable, Kachava, Bonner County Daily Bee, Summit Insurance, Realm Realty Partners, Living Local 360, Williams & Parsons PC, and Lone Tree Creative. So those are really our major sponsors. And again, it's a combination of cash and in-kind services. It could be all the way from the breakfast being donated for the riders to a tremendous amount of publicity that we get in some of the local media.
So it pays them back in that sense. And it, the great thing about having these sponsors means that when riders sign up and they do the fundraising, they know their money's going to the cause. So the sponsors
absolutely
help underwrite the cost of putting the event on. And
I think the word gets out. I just want you to know that next year there'll be a fellow from Florida coming up that I just spoke with his wife who was visiting our area, and he's just getting into riding. And I said, why don't you guys come back next year for the Chafe 150, and handed them a brochure, and they're going to come back.
They're going to come back.
Yeah. Great. She's not a rider, but he is, so there you go.
So you mentioned you get riders from all around the country. How are they finding out about it, and what motivates them to drive to Sandpoint, Idaho, and take part in this ride?
Well, the great thing that our ride has going for it is that it's a wonderful ride, and so we have great word of mouth. People tell other riders, they go back home, they tell them about it. We do advertising, local and regional advertising. You know, we have a Facebook page. We go to bike shows. We did the Outdoor Expo in Spokane. But we really depend on people telling other people about the ride. That's what's going to make it grow and grow and grow every year. This year, we have a special incentive that if you refer a rider, how they heard about the ride, they put your name down, you're entered into a drawing for some really great prizes, you know, like a $50 bike pump and hats and things like that.
Listeners, so tell people about it. You could win something.
Yeah, you can win something.
And you mentioned you got people from Boulder. Do you know offhand the farthest somebody's come to take part in this ride?
We had someone 2 years ago from Nova Scotia. We had one rider from Italy 3 years ago.
Did he tear up the course? You imagine the Italians are going to be really fast.
You know, I don't know how he finished. I know he finished, though.
Right. He was fast.
Yeah. So, well, you know what? I would like to get into a few other things. This is the 10-year. I want to talk about the history, and as well as we want to talk more about the cause, the specifics where the money goes. But Susie, I think we should give them a little breather here and take a musical break.
Okay, this is a fairly short song, a 2-minute song. It's the Beatles, Good Day Sunshine. We want sunshine. We want it for the Chafe 150.
We'll sing it into existence.
In June 17th. So here you go, the Beatles, Good Day Sunshine. We'll be right back. And that was the Beatles, Good Day Sunshine. We could have a little bit of that. It would be just perfect. This is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to The Morning Show, and I'm Susie with my co-host Chris Bessler over there. We have guests in the studio, Ilana Westfall and Mel Dick from the Chafe 150 Gran Fondo Bike Ride, which is coming up June 17th. And it's a big deal here in our community. There's all kinds of aspects to it, a 150, an 80, and a 30-mile ride. All levels of participation. We've been talking about a lot of the infrastructure that happens. But let's for a moment go to what this is supporting, the vital need in our community for students in our school district that have autism or on the autism spectrum, as they say. Who wants to talk about that a little bit? Because it's very needed support.
Yes, I'll mention a few words on that. The cause, since Rotary has taken over this, is for students on the autism spectrum at the Lake Pend'Oreille School District. The funds are used to put in various different types of programs. Children on the autism spectrum have a need for strong emotional and social setting skills, etc. Dr. Joy Jansen administers the program. She's in charge of the special needs programs at the school district, and she's done a wonderful job, in our view, of really building on these various things that we've helped fund. And one of Rotary's keys on a global scale when we get involved with projects is to make sure there's sustainability, so that if we go away or our cause becomes different down the road, they have a sustainable program. So she's been doing that during the last several years. Each of the schools in the district have designated teachers or administrators that are involved with the children that are on the autism spectrum. They have purchased equipment. They've put the school district employees through some special training. They've actually levered it outside of the school district, in that some other school districts have participated in part of their whole collaborative type effort. And then what we're really pleased with is the programs that have been put in place during the last 3 years have really served as a foundation for the entire social and emotional growth programs that the school district has been putting in place during the last couple of years. And so it's really benefiting the entire school district and the students in the entire school district. If Joy were here, and she's out of town, otherwise she would be, she would tell you a story that happened to her recently where she was out in a school and she was talking to a young child who was on the autism spectrum. And the child was explaining to her why he really liked the programs that she's helped put in place. And at the end of it, he said, "Because it makes my life better." Mm. So very heartwarming.
Yeah, the child even recognizes that. So how many kids on the autism spectrum do you know? Are there in the school district?
You know, we don't know, because that information is, there's some restrictions on being able to share that type of information. We do know on a nationwide basis that 1 in 68 children are diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And it's a broad range where it could be from being nonverbal to being what used to be known as Asperger's, where you're, at a genius level and you may have
very high functioning.
Very high functioning.
The communication part is.
Communication and the social skills can be a challenge. And it's much more prevalent in boys. 1 in 42 boys have a tendency to get it. So if you extrapolate that out into the population of the school district, there's probably someone in every school, or multiple children at every school within the district.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier. Over the course of the CHAFE, how much money has been raised to help with this?
Well, as Rotary took the ride over, this is going to be our fifth ride, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the history. We've raised to date $160,000, $50,000 in each of the last 2 years that's gone to the school district, and we're on track to probably be at a $50,000. I would say cumulative, $250,000 more mm-hmm. has been raised. The ride has grown pretty substantially in the last 5 years. And it takes a while to get a ride like this off the ground.
Oh, yeah. Any kind of big event like this takes a long time to get it going. And it is now going, talking about starting the ride. Mel, this is the 10th year for CHAFE, so it's a kind of an anniversary year. Tell us where the ride came from, because Rotary came in 5 years ago and took it and has grown it significantly in that period of time. But what's the genesis of the CHAFE ride?
Well, the CHAFE ride started 10 years ago, and it was started by the Panhandle Alliance for Education. The initial rides during those years were to help a program that the Panhandle Alliance for Education had, which was called Ready for Kindergarten. And so that is a program where parents can go through some weekend training with their children to help them get ready for kindergarten. So it's ages 0 to 5. The RIDE started out helping fund that program, and Panhandle Alliance Net for Education did that for a 5-year period. Then Sandpoint Rotary elected to take over the RIDE. Ready for Kindergarten is still out there, still a very, very successful program that Panhandle Alliance has. And Rotary is all about education. That's one of our key things, both on an international and local scale. So we elected to continue to have it support education on a little bit different scale, with it going towards mm-hmm. the students on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm. And
if I may interject yeah. about the name while we're talking about this.
Yes.
I thought Chafe. So. Well, I think maybe in the beginning it had something to do with rhyming with PAFE, Panhandle Alliance for Education. Chafe originally stood for Cycle Hard for Education. So
I thought it just stood for that irritation you get from being in the saddle
for 150 miles.
And of course, that's the double entendre there with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah, having a little fun with it. Yeah. But right. now it's, is it still Stanford for Cycle Hard for Education, would you say?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Because we're pedaling for education.
Yeah.
The funds go. And while it may seem like it's for a specific program, these social and emotional need programs are benefiting all of the students in mm-hmm. the school district and mm-hmm. in the community.
Mm-hmm. So I remember the first RIDE. Starting out with a new idea. I was on the PAFE board at that time, actually, mm-hmm. And as you were, Mel, and of course, Brad Williams was the big prime mover. He's with Williams and Parsons, also on the board at that time. And the first one was held in the fall, and the RIDE actually was it counterclockwise instead of clockwise around the loop.
That's correct.
So why the adjustment? How did it move to spring? And, you know, why did it swap directions?
Well, the first ride, first couple of rides, it was only 150 miles. And so it went.
There was no 80.
There was no 80. Yeah, there was right. no 30.
Yeah.
It moved from the fall to the spring because having a ride in September, most people have shifted to thinking about skiing as opposed to riding. And so we moved it to the first weekend in June, and the ride took place then for several years. Then Rotary took the ride over, and there'd been occasions where we had rain during that first weekend in June, and we'd have a conflict occasionally with graduation from the local schools. So we decided, well, let's move it to July, because we had some riders really saying, well, you really need to move this in July. We moved it into July, and the weather was about 100 degrees in Montana, and just about killed everybody involved in the ride. So we kind of compromised, moved it back to June 17th, or the third Saturday in June is where we have the ride now. We plan on keeping it at that. And I said before, you know, the ride's grown at about 10% a year, and started out with 76 riders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good work. One of the questions I have is the infrastructure to make this all happen. You kind of mentioned big trucks taking bikes up to Troy for the
yes.
80-mile riders, all that kind of stuff, all those refreshment stands, but there's still a core group of people that are sitting around organizing this. What does your infrastructure look like? How big of a do you need for support on getting it together?
Well, there's somewhere between 6 and 8 Rotarians that work on this ride a minimum of 9 months a year. Okay. And that small group is a committee of Rotary, and they're responsible for putting the ride on. Behind that small group, though, is well over 100 volunteers. Alana mentioned that we have 6 rest stops. Those rest stops are manned by community organizations such as KFRY, the school district, the Rotary, Angels Over Sandpoint. So it takes a village kind of thing to put this kind of ride on. And the day of the ride, I think we have at least 100 volunteers. The hospital provides nursing support. Lighthouse provides a truck to haul all those bikes over there. We get buses from the school district.
This is a beautiful community event.
It really is. This is, and it is one of the largest community events that we have every year.
That's what the other thing I was wondering, just how it stands. And what other fundraisers do you do besides getting the pledges? Do you have a fundraiser coming up?
No. Yes, actually, yes. It's tonight.
Oh, there you go.
We are going to have a happy hour fundraiser at the Idaho Poor Authority at between 5 and 7 p.m. We'll have live music, hors d'oeuvres, beer specials. And tonight, I am so excited. We're going to have a raffle, several raffles, but I'm really excited about the fact that we have two season passes for the festival. Thanks to Dino Wall and the festival, we will be raffling that off tonight. And the season passes are actually sold out right now, so you can't get them anywhere. So come to the Idaho Poor Authority between 5 and 7 tonight, buy some raffle tickets, have a couple of beers, meet people who are riding, meet people who want to ride, and learn more about the ride. You can sign up there, and you can check out our apparel and get a hat and maybe win two festival passes.
So yeah. You can have fun and support a cause at the same time. What a deal.
And drink great beer. Carbo load.
That's right.
That's the way you talk about bicyclists. Yes, you talked about training before. One of the key things is carbo loading. Everybody can carbo load.
I'm starting right now.
Does beer have carbohydrates in it?
Yes, it does.
Oh. There you go.
So, well, I'll tell you what, you know, we covered a lot, but tell us a little bit more about Rotary itself, because Rotary does a lot of good works around the community.
Yes. Rotary International was started, I think almost a little over 100 years ago. We have over 34,000 members around the world. In our local club here in Sandpoint, we have approximately 80 members. We do a lot of things in the community. Most of it is around youth. So, for example, 2 weeks ago, we had our annual gala dinner, and that was for the benefit of the library expansion that's taking place here in Sandpoint. And we had a wonderful dinner, raised a substantial amount of money that will go to help the library expand. Many people don't know this, but we are probably the largest grantor of scholarships in the United States, Rotary as a whole, as an organization. And for example, our local club gives out somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 15 annual scholarships. And just about all the clubs do something like that. We have a focus on education, water projects, health projects in other countries. Our motto is service above self. Just a tremendous amount of different things that Rotary does. We just had our district conference up in the cusp, Canada. And to give you an idea of one of our major causes is to eradicate polio. So for those of us like myself who are old enough to remember polio, we used to lose about 50,000 people a year to polio. This year, there have only been 5 cases of polio in the entire world.
Almost there.
We're almost there. Yeah. And 6 of us rode our bikes to that conference. And with the pledges that we got from various different Rotary clubs and Rotarians and other people and the matching grants, we raised over $100,000.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
So it's pretty amazing what Rotary does both locally and what we do on an international scale.
And speaking of kind of cooperation with other Rotary clubs, and one big event that comes up in the fall is the Wackanai ride. Is the Sandpoint Rotary involved in that?
Sandpoint Rotary is involved with the Wackanai ride. In fact, Cliff Warren is chair of that ride committee. That's a little bit different type of ride than the Chafe. It takes place over 6 days. It goes along the International Selkirk Loop, and it has between 75 and 80 riders a year, and it's supported by 8-9 different Rotary clubs in the International, all around the Selkirk Loop.
You know, I was looking at what it costs to participate in that as a rider, and it's actually a huge bargain. For people that like to do a supported ride where somebody's carrying your gear for you and arranging places to stay, I mean, you could do it and not even think about it being a fundraiser because it's such a deal.
There's another ride around the loop where it costs $1,000 more than the Rotary ride, which is right at $495 for it. And you are on your own. You carry all your own gear, and you cook your own meals. Yeah. And you're camping.
Yeah.
So here you can camp on our ride. Right. But it's just a great ride. And Rotary puts on a tremendous number of bike rides around the country as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, very the cool. kind of work that the Rotary does is commendable. And it also kind of balances out the divisional feelings that can crop up in communities, really brings a community together and highlights the goodness that, and the common good is the word that I heard you say, to do good for others, which is beautiful.
Okay.
Elena, were you going to say something?
No, it's just, it really is an amazing yeah. organization. And actually, I think at the last toll, our club has given over $400,000 in scholarships to local students. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's really a great organization
yeah,
to be
and
part
the,
of.
The imprint of Rotary is everywhere, from the bandstand to the library now. I mean, I went
the
to the
room.
Library fundraiser. That was really a lot of fun. I did not hear. How did that turn out? Was it successful in terms of raising money?
Yes.
Yes. Very successful. It was a sellout. One other thing that Rotary does that really gets into the education area is we have established clubs in our local high schools here. So there is what's called an Interact Club. It's for students in the Sandpoint High School. And now we've just established a similar club at the charter school as well. So we do a lot with that and a lot with leadership programs for youth, peace programs, peace scholars. We've now got over 1,000 people have graduated around the world from international schools dedicated towards peace.
Right. Well, right now in Sandpoint, we have exchange students from Korea, Italy, Chile that are living with host families here. And we're sending students out to, I think, Belgium and
yes.
Germany and all over the world. It's really a great example of the international flavor that Rotary brings to Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm. And we just hosted a group of Welsh from Wales, and one of our members is going to go to Wales here. So a lot of different things if you want to get involved with Rotary. I'd really encourage anybody out there listening that's not a Rotarian, come to some of our lunches, hear what we have to say. Today our lunch is at Sandpoint High School, hosted by the Interact Club.
Oh, really? Cool. And that's every Wednesday? Actually.
Every Wednesday.
So if they want to get in touch with somebody about Rotary, how do they do that?
They should just come to every Wednesday, 11:45 is our luncheon at Tango Cafe over in the Columbia Bank Center. It starts at noon and ends promptly at 1 o'clock. We always have great speakers for our luncheon. So just show up and we'll get you involved and have lunch on us.
Well, thank you very much. I just say bravo to all the work that you're doing and the service you're doing to our community and all around the world. And KRFY is really happy to partner a little bit, a tiny bit, to join your efforts with the bike ride CHAFE 150. And again, folks who are interested can go to the website, chafe150.org.
We have a great video shot by Scott Rulander on our site that you can see what the ride is going to look like, get a real feel for it.
Oh, that would be fun. And the other thing I just wanted to say, I have a feeling that the Rotary has fun doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. All the work you're doing must be a lot of fun, too.
It really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Ilana Westphal and Mel Dick, for coming into the KRFY studio this morning for the morning show and telling us all about your, and tonight, shout out.
Yes.
You have your fundraiser.
Come to the Idaho Poor Authority between 5 and 7. Mm-hmm.
And win some festival tickets.
There you go. We're going to take a little musical break and let our guests mosey on into their day. This is Jesse Winchester. It is his birthday today. He was born in 1942. He's 1944, actually. He's a Canadian singer-songwriter. And this is one of his songs. It's called Rhythm of the Rain. I don't think he wrote this, but he's singing it. It's just kind of a pretty song. We'll be right back with a little bit more of the morning show, so stay tuned. Jesse Winchester, Rhythm of the Rain. And that was Jesse Winchester, Rhythm of the Rain. We're back here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY for the morning show with Chris and Susie.
The last little dab of the morning show here, because we're about out of time. But we wanted to mention to folks that tomorrow's morning show, the Thursday edition, with hosts Jack and Jim, they're going to be speaking with Jennifer McDonald from 101 Women, which is a group that aims to unite and harness the power of charitable efforts for local organizations. That'll be at 8 a.m. That's tomorrow, Thursday, May 18th. And then on Friday, It's kind of a bonus morning show, right, Susie?
A little extra. I call it the extra morning interview.
Yeah, because usually our morning show is every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But tomorrow you get a bonus show. It's also at 8 a.m. And Susie, you and Julie are going to be talking with Gabriel Dubendorfer, representing the Citizens Climate Lobby. And that's a group that promotes a market-based carbon fee and dividend policy as a way to lessen the impacts of climate change. So it's a different take on how we might work on climate change from a market-based instead of a strictly regulatory point of view.
So it's solutions.
That should be an interesting talk. It's a different idea about how to handle that.
And they have an event coming up on this Saturday. So that interview is on Friday morning.
That's right. Friday morning. Yep. And, of course, also happening, kicking off on Friday is the Lost in the 50s, biggest. Actually, it kicks off with a show Thursday called Rock and Roll Heaven at the fairgrounds. So you can catch that on Friday. There's the parade downtown. It starts at 6 p.m. After the parade, there is a street dance right at Jeff Jones Square, as well as a big main stage show at the fairgrounds. Then on Saturday, it's the car show all around downtown. The streets are blocked off. There's several hundred vintage cars to come check out and wander around. It's all free. And then that evening as well, there's a show and dance with Shirley Austin Reeves and the Righteous Brothers. That's kind of a big name at the fairgrounds.
The Righteous Brothers?
The Righteous Brothers at the fairgrounds. That's on Saturday's show. So that's kind of a big one.
And they're still alive?
I think so. Are. It's amazing. Some of the groups that have been around for so long, they're still going out and making good music.
What do you know?
Yeah.
And who do we have on our morning show next week, Chris, on Wednesday? Scroll down. Oh, you can't.
Scroll here. You can see it.
I'll tell you who's on next Wednesday. Chris and I will have, our guest will be Lisa DeFreites from the Bonner Community Hospice, who will talk about the Hospice Kids Camp, what it is and how to register.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's another very important element in the community.
Just a quick shout out, KRFY is hosting, along with the University of Idaho Cyclocross course, the Viggo Mortensen Art Auction that is online. You can view items that are all signed memorabilia, I'll call it, by Viggo Mortensen. And you can go to biddingforgood.com/KRFY.
Or you can get to it from our website. If you go to KRFY.org, you'll see a little picture in the right column, and you can click on that and go off to the auction there. All kinds of neat stuff, some music CDs, some books.
And photographic prints.
And photographic prints. He's really a good photographer.
Yeah, they're very nice. So there you go. We're out of time. I'd like to go out with a song. We'd like to go out with a song. Today, Taj Mahal was born in 1942 on this day. Multi-instrumentalist composer, film soundtracks. And here's one of his songs that I particularly like. It's called Fish and Blues. We hope you have a beautiful day.
Have a great day and a great week.